Hi, my name is Anna Friend. I'm 47, and last year, or maybe sometime before that, I entered that unknown black hole, the perimenopause. Since then, I have discovered that even the mere mention of the M word can evoke an internal shiver from all corners of society, and this made me wonder why. Specifically, why the hell aren't we talking more about menopause? After all, it's happening to 50% of the population and is an absolute certainty for all cis women. So what's the problem? And why do we have such difficulty addressing health matters for women? So I decided to talk to women. From those that are facing the climb, viewing the mountain from afar, to those that have conquered the summit. Sort of. Yes, lots and lots of women who have shared their experiences, their viewpoints and their top tips. And my hope is that by doing this, we can start turning this ship around and stop referring to the menopause as some sort of end of usefulness type bollocks and see it for its positive possibilities. So here we go, me and my merry band of hormonal goddesses, we're taking on the change. In this episode, I talk with Jackie, who is also my lovely mum. Not going to lie, this is just a wonderful opportunity to talk to a woman who I love and hear her take on this experience that we share. I loved our gentle conversation and the calm positivity that she radiates, and I really hope you enjoy it. Welcome, lovely mum.
Hello.
Hello.
So, do you remember how old you were when you started menopause, or you sort of first thought, oh, I think I might be... you know, that sort of thing. Do you remember how old?
Yes, because it coincided reasonably well with when we moved back to Thornbury, when I was about 47, 48.
Yeah, I would say same age as me.
Yes, and then, I think most of the, you know, the connection with doctors and things about the menopause came after we moved here rather than when I was still in Berkshire. So I was about 48, I suppose. And
do you remember what kind of made you think, oh, okay, was it something, because a lot of the women that I've been talking to and a lot of the things that we talked about is the fact that perimenopause, and I mean was that even a thing, was perimenopause a label when you were...
No, not to my knowledge.
So it was menopause or nothing, basically, from your point of view. It was your menopause or nothing. Because a few of the women who I've been talking to who are perimenopausal, which is the period leading up to your actual menopause, I suppose, the variety of symptoms is crazy and very subtle. And, you know, so everyone's had a slightly different sort of moment where they've thought, ooh, could this be, often to be told no it's not. So do you remember there being a thing where you thought, oh, okay, this might be this?
I can't specifically. I think it was more mental than anything.
Yeah,
at the time I mean we used to talk, you know, all of my friends and I used to talk about it. It wasn't a no-no subject or anything like that. And there was a vast variety of symptoms that people had. I mean, one of my friends was so lucky, her period stopped and that was it, and she never had anything. She didn't have any peri, any pre, any post. She just stopped her period and that was it. She didn't have anything else.
Wow.
But I had a variety of things, and most of my friends did. I would say I was kind of in the middle of the road. Some people had extreme symptoms. I think it was, for me, it was more like I began to feel as though I'd got brain fog.
Yeah.
You know, I felt as though I wasn't really on top of things and that I wasn't thinking straight sometimes. And I at first I didn't know what was going on, and then I suddenly thought, oh, I wonder if it's a symptom of the menopause, because my, you know, I was told, oh, of course, you're coming up to the change. That was the word.
Change.
Aww. And my mother, who was actually very, for her generation, was very open-minded. She gave me a book that she'd found very useful called No Change. And that was very good on, it was very good on symptoms, telling you all the symptoms. But it was also very encouraging to say, this won't last forever and it's all right. You know, it's that sort of book.
So I
leafed through it and found there was this thing they called, and I don't think they called it brain fog, but it was, you know, that feeling that you were a bit kind of hazy and you weren't quite getting everything right. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people do talk about brain fog. And actually, a lot of places, if you go onto the internet now and you look up menopause, it will specifically say brain fog, losing words, not. So, but just going back, so your mum, my nanny, so she, do you remember her going through menopause? And was there a conversation or?
No, I don't remember that at all. Mm. But it was just that when I was that age, you know, she said, oh, you might find this useful, and gave me a book that she had used when she was going through the menopause.
So it was only when you were at that point where you might need it that she then said.
Yeah, as far as I can remember, I mean, she was always a very open person. She wasn't like a lot of her generation who didn't mention anything. I mean, she always told me about periods and about what and about everything, really, you know, when I was young. But most of my aunts didn't tell their daughters. My cousins found out from me because my mum had told me.
They found out what about you? About periods?
About periods and about sex and everything. They found out from me via my mum, because my mum was the only one who was advanced, well, what do you call it, advanced, but open-minded enough to actually discuss it with me.
And why do you think, so she was a bit of a trailblazer then in lots of ways.
Which is
that's new. So do you think that's impacted on how you then related to me?
Well, I think I was always very open with you. Yeah. And I answered any questions you had for me, tried to let you know. I remember we bought you that book for you and Matthew. Do you remember? We did buy you a book.
Well, the body book.
The body book.
I do remember.
Which I know you both giggled about.
Well, we ever did. I just remember Julie Carmichael coming round and we used to look at the page about farts. And that was just, that's what the thing that I remember most about that book is looking at the page about farts and finding that hilariously funny.
It was meant to have a wider context, you know, you were meant to pick up all the rest and then ask questions.
We probably did. I'm sure
and
we
you,
probably
you did.
Did.
Yeah, you did. And so I've always tried to be, you know, as explicit as I can.
Do you feel like that was a benefit to you then? That relationship with your mum and the fact that she, I mean, like, for example, you would have then felt able to say to her, oh, I think I'm, you know, experiencing some menopause symptoms or something.
Yeah, I might well have done actually asked her, and that's why she gave me the book.
Yeah.
You know, because I was a bit concerned. But there's so many symptoms and it's very difficult to know what might be the symptom. I mean, I always had a lot of, not a lot, but I always had premenstrual tension. I always knew, you know. Mm. And to my mind...
We all knew, too.
Yes.
I'm joking, I'm teasing you.
You all knew. And I also, and I felt that in a way the menopause was like a constant PMT, you know, because it just seemed to spread over the whole month. But there were, you know, there was the obvious one, which is your period starts getting erratic and that sort of thing. And then there was the brain thing. I didn't ever have, a lot of my friends had those awful sweats, you know, but they literally had to change their clothes. They were so wet. I didn't ever have that. But I used to have this weird thing, which again, I didn't know whether it was something wrong with me or whether this was to do with the menopause, but actually it was in this book my mother gave me, and it was a crawling feeling, and I used to get this crawling sensation that started in my feet and crawled all up my legs until it reached my abdomen, and then there was a huge explosion of heat in my abdomen. But I never got wet with it. I didn't perspire or anything. It was just this incredible, and it does have a name, this thing. It's called, you have to be careful how you pronounce it, it's formication with an M. Because
that's a horribly ironic name considering what it could have been. That's horrendous.
It's because it's named after the Latin for ant.
Oh, right.
Like ants crawling up your legs. You
and did you feel, when did you have that? Just randomly, or was it?
Randomly, randomly. That was quite random, yeah. Mm. Yeah.
And when that happened to you, how did that make you feel in terms of, did you feel self-conscious? Did you feel worried? I mean, did it freak you out, or did you get used to it? What? How did it impact on you?
Well, I think at first I wasn't at all sure what was happening. And then, as I say, my mother gave me this book, and I found the description of it.
Oh,
I thought, yeah. Oh, that's okay. That's just another. And I was always eternally grateful that I didn't have the hot flushes and the sweats, because my friends who did, I mean, literally, they would sit and you would watch the red crawl up their face, and then they'd start perspiring. And I mean, when you're in your own home, it was, you just dealt with it. But just imagine when you're in the office, you know, with a lot of young things, and suddenly you're sitting there like this damp lady, you know, and bright red. It was very, very distressing for them.
Did any of your friends find menopause? Because it sounds to me like, although you had, and I know obviously you, and then you went on HRT, which we'll talk about in a minute, but it sounds like some of your friends, did they find it changed their ability to function in the way that they, you know, you were saying about if you're in your own home, it's fine. Did you find that some of your friends were less, you know, not wanting to sort of socialise or change their habits at all?
Well, they did find it embarrassing, you know, the when they were at work, having those. I mean, I think it depends on your work environment as well, because if you're in an office with a lot of other ladies, of, you know, women same age as you, probably can relate to it. It's not a big problem. You can just say, oh, God, look at me again, you know. But I think if you worked in an office or any work environment where you had a lot of young people and men, it probably would have been quite embarrassing and difficult. Yeah, I think some of them found it difficult. Yeah, yeah. And loss of confidence, I think. You know, you have a loss of confidence.
I mean, what's mind-blowing for me at the moment, Mum, and so we haven't, so my mum is 77. You wouldn't know that if you saw her, but my mum is 77. So I'm 47. And I am talking to lots of women across the age ranges, but obviously talking a lot to women who are in menopause or sort of coming up, that aspect has not changed. That aspect of losing confidence, shame.
I didn't ever feel that. I never felt.
No, but you it's
embarrassed.
Like you didn't have.
No, I didn't
necessarily
have that.
Have the,
no.
But those women who do experience the big flushes and the and the perspiring. Yeah. One of the ladies that I've spoken to, either her or a friend of hers, smells. I mean, completely. Like,
yes, that's another factor. Worrying whether because you've just had this massive dripping mess, you know, whether you actually are very nice to be near, that is another factor.
And so, but from your perspective, obviously then you made the decision to go on HRT. What triggered that? Was it a sort of conversation with the doctor that was like, well, let's just do this, or everyone's doing this, or how was HRT relatively new when you went on it?
I think it was relatively new, rather like the pill was relatively new when I went on the pill. Mm. So it was a cause of...
Can I just say you sound extremely racy right now? All the listeners are like, wow, she went on the pill, her mum knew everything, she talked about periods. You're like, woohoo!
Well, no, I'm not like that at all, as you know.
Well, that's your innerness.
But it was... HRT was relatively new. For some people, it was hailed as, you know, the big answer to everything. Other people had more scepticism, and there were a few worries about it. But I don't know whether I decided myself or whether I just had, you know, I was just fed up with the symptoms. So I did go to the doctor, and I was very lucky here, because if I'd have gone to the doctors back in Berkshire, they weren't very women orientated, if you know. They're nearly all ex-service doctors and not really into women's problems a great deal. But down here we had a more approachable bunch, and in fact the best of them all was a man. And he was fascinated by HRT and what it could do from a clinical point of view. And he worked very hard to find one that balanced, because you've got to get the estrogen and progesterone the right balance. Otherwise, it can, you know, throw you in a different way, you know.
Yeah.
In fact, yeah, I won't say that. But
it's a free speech here. You can say whatever you
want. Well, a friend, when she first went on HRT, I mean, she literally became really randy.
because
the balance was all wrong, you know. So it was very critical getting the balance right. And the doctor I had, he was lovely. He gave me several tries, and he'd see each time what was my reaction, and then he found a pill that paired the best of the two, estrogen and the and I did find it helpful. I think the first thing I noticed was my brain seemed to be a little more alert, and obviously the other symptoms went away. But in the end, I came off it. I wasn't on it that long.
How long were you on it?
I can't remember, but it wasn't that long.
I mean, well, months or years?
Oh, no, it was probably a couple of years or more.
Yeah.
2 or 3 years. But my cousin developed breast cancer, which was HRT-induced, which was always a worry, one of the worries, you know. And so I came off it. Also, I'd got some older friends who'd been on it for a while and had, you know, stopped taking it. And they said, the problem is you still get the menopause. It just delays it. It doesn't eliminate it. It just helps. But eventually, you know, it seemed to me anyway that I came off it and everything came back, you know.
Oh, so it did, so that was your experience, because I know you have always advised me not to go on HRT.
Well, no, I don't think it's a bad thing. And I think one of the things it can do, I mean, I have got friends who have been on HRT forever, and they were on it more for the benefits it gave to them particularly, because they had arthritis. And it did help an awful lot with their arthritis, delayed the acceleration of the arthritis, if you like. And one of them is 80, and she's come off it now, but she was on it until she was in her late 70s. And she had no side effects or anything. It was good for her. So it's a mixed bag, really, whether you stay on it or not. But I came off it, and then I had a return of the symptoms, if you like.
And to the same degree, you say?
No, I think they were slightly lessened because I was older, perhaps. I don't know why, but they weren't so bad. And then eventually, you know, I got through that period and moved on.
And do you remember how long? I mean, I know it was a long time ago, but do you remember how long, at what point you felt like you were post-menopausal, like you were out on the other side? Was it more, because that would have put you, if you were sort of my age when you started, you went on HRT a few years, so you're sort of talking early 50s that you might have returned to your menopause.
More mid-50s.
Mid-50s.
Yeah.
And then at what point did you think...
Such a long time ago.
I know, but...
I would say probably late 50s. And into my... Because I remember... talking about it with a customer, and I was doing her picture framing one day.
How appropriate.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm joking. I mean, absolutely how appropriate. Yeah.
Well, most of my customers became good mates, and she was considerably older than me, and she said, oh, I'm still going through it, Jackie. She was quite a lot older than me. She said, oh, I still get all those hot flushes and things.
Yeah.
But and I think some people do have an extended one.
Yeah.
Other people have hardly anything. And then there's somebody like me who's somewhere in the middle. You know, I've got a bit of this, a bit of that. But I would like to say that it's sort of represented a bit as this milestone in your life, which it is. It is. And it can be a significant milestone, especially if it coincides with when your children are at a sticky age, for example. You know, I mean...
I know, because you've always said that was... why you went on HRT. Well, sort of, because I was 14 or something horrendous.
No, you weren't. No. Oh, man, you might have been. Yes.
No,
yes, actually.
No. I was 16. So when we moved, I was more sort of 16. Mm. But I do remember you saying that was a sort of factor in your thinking, that, you know, it was sort of having a very extremely hormonal mum and then a young woman of a sort of impressionable but, well, and a bit of a crazy age was part and parcel of it.
Yeah. Well, I think that's one of the difficult things, to differentiate between just getting so cross and frustrated because your children are at a difficult age. And it's so easy because some of the symptoms, you know, the irritability particularly and that sort of thing, can also just be what you're going through with your family. Mm. It's difficult to say that, but I think it does exaggerate that tendency to it being irritable and short-tempered. And if you've got children at that age, you know, teenage, it's not the best time to be irritable and short-tempered.
Yeah,
so I mean, for the HRT can see you through that patch, if you know.
And I was going to, I mean, I know you're just about to say something, but just doubling back, how do you think that it impacted on your relationships with Dad and us? Do you think that it did it have an impact at all at home?
Well, I think I must have been a miserable old cow at times. No doubt about that. And I don't know how much understanding there was of it.
From
the children's, yours and Dad's point of view.
But even from Dad, you don't think that Dad,
he's always been a sympathetic type, but I think occasionally he must have thought, oh my God, you know, here she is again. Loose in a rag. And yes, I mean, I don't know how much he understood.
But did you talk to Dad about it? You were on HRT.
Oh, yes, of course.
And I mean, Dad's a kind of, you know, a surgical mind, isn't he? He's very sort of, well, he's a scientist as well. Mm. He must have had a grasp of the science, you know, the fact that this was a science, you know, a physical thing that was happening.
Oh, yes. And I remember he was always looking it up in his medical books and he got a book called, I can't remember what it was called Geigy. And, you know, if I had any symptoms of that and also symptoms I used to have of allergies, I used to get a lot of allergies. I mean, he was always on the case trying to find, you know, something I could take that might help.
Yeah.
So I suppose he was pretty sympathetic, really. But he must have got fed up. He must have got fed up. Mm. What with you as well?
Oh, okay. Bring me to it. That's fine. I'll take it. I know I wasn't divine at that age.
Well, but, neither of you were. No.
But with talking to your friends then, do you think that Dad was typical or atypical of men at that time?
Well, I think probably most of my friends were married to similar sort of men. You know, quite a lot of my friends married to scientists.
Mm.
And I think probably, I mean, if you had, you know, if you were married to, say, a very arty bloke who's very, you know, as hormonal as you, if you know what I mean. You know, I mean, some men are quite temperamental, aren't they? John is not. And most of my friends' husbands aren't. They're kind of quite, well, like your Johnny, really, you know, very, I don't mean analytical, but he did make an effort to understand, and he's always been supportive anyway, you know.
Do you think it would have been different had he not? Because obviously it's a great situation to be in, isn't it? But how would it, obviously me and Matt, so I was 16, very much not home-minded, really. Mm. And Matt was actually not with us at that point because we...
No, not when we came back here.
But, I mean, presumably in the years prior to that, you probably were Perry, as in, you know, there would have been...
Oh, probably, but I didn't know.
You didn't know, exactly. But there we were, sort of not really caring hide nor hair what was happening to you. And did you... And Dad was actually working a lot.
Mm.
Did you feel... did you feel isolated with it, or did you have a good support network from your female friends?
I used to get quite tearful.
Mm.
Quite an emotional time you can have. Apart from the irritability, there's also the welling up, or feeling close to tears a lot. No, I was lucky. I had a lot of friends who were about the same age, and you could talk very openly. And so if you knew that somebody else was, in the same sort of boat, in a way, that was a support. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Yes. Very much a support. Yeah.
Yeah. And
you need to talk about it.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. It's really important to have that conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it sounds also like you lucked out with your GP. I mean, obviously, again, it's a bit of a lottery, especially speaking to a lot of women. You know, it can be, it really is down to the person that you speak to and whether they feel. But that in itself is interesting, isn't it? Because one lady I was talking to, she was saying that she had made her appointment to see a female doctor specifically because she wanted someone who she felt would be more understanding and sympathetic. Mm. And I said, it's interesting that you say that, isn't it? Because you shouldn't need sympathy and understanding from a doctor when you are going to see them for a medical event. You know, ultimately, menopause is a medical situation where part of your body, I mean, my doctor explained it to me, this was last year, and the whole reason, I suppose, why I'm doing this podcast, and said, She said, put it very plain. She said, well, when you go through menopause, part of your body is shutting down, and so it can impact on many organs. Mm. And I said, it's interesting that we feel, and you said it yourself, that you, had you been in Berkshire, the doctors there were not quite so women problems minded, but then you were lucky you moved to a practice where they were a little bit more. It's interesting that we feel that we haven't just, why should we need to look for that? It should be that if you go and say, well, this is happening, there's a huge change in my body, so my hormones are sort of racing, these things are happening to me which are impacting on my life, what can be done? But if you get someone who just sort of says, well, it's just the change, so okay, ho, get on with it, you won't necessarily get anywhere.
It's a bit of a lottery.
Yeah,
who you get. I think I would imagine now, I mean, it's 25 years since I was in this situation, and I imagine there's a lot more understanding now, because I think women's problems generally are a little more addressed than they were, aren't they?
Unfortunately, I would really hope that that was the case, but unfortunately, it doesn't seem to be the case at all. I think that's part of the reason why I wanted to do this podcast, is because prior to creating the podcast, I was having conversations with various people, all of whom were either post-menopausal or in the menopause, or a bit like me, sort of peri, but not really sometimes, all of those. And there's pockets of information. So there's a lot more pockets. So, for example, obviously when you were going through menopause, or even when you were prior to menopause, you couldn't Google and suddenly I'm going to look this up.
No. And you're reliant on books, really.
Yeah, and also conversation.
And conversation.
But if you were, you were fortunate. You had a strong, supportive set of women friends who were all of a similar age, and were all, sounds like, very like-minded. In that, if you said, I think I'm going through menopause, or this happened to me the other day, they'd pipe up and say, oh, yes, that happened to me the other day. It's this. And then a conversation would ensue, which was brilliant. But imagine if you're in a situation where maybe you don't have, or maybe you're more isolated, or you're just a different character, maybe you just don't feel like you can open up. The resources that when you were going through it were just, you could be experiencing brain fog or something even more dramatic to brain fog, where you really sort of felt very unhinged, because I know women, some women do really, really changes their mental stability, and not know it's menopause, and not be able to talk about it, and all of those things. And unfortunately, that's still the case now. So if you've got there's lots of different women that I've spoken to, and women who have got mental health difficulties, a history of mental health difficulties, and then menopause comes along and sort of makes that into a whole nightmare, really, sort of takes it into an absolute stratosphere of horrendousness. And there's no joined up thinking with the medical profession, and the doctors are not sort of saying, oh, well, it's because of menopause. They're sort of, you know, not, there's no joined up thinking. And I feel, I still think it's a bit of a lottery as to whether or not you get good advice and are able to sort of feel just like it's a normal natural process. So I'll ask you that question. When you went through it, did you just feel, well, this is normal, this is natural, it's just, you know, it's just what it is, it's just, it just happens to, it just needs to happen, sort of thing?
Oh yes, it was you know, expected.
Yeah.
And I must admit, I just want to say, because I'm so much older and have been there, done that and all that, but actually there is light at the end of the tunnel. There are advantages, believe it or not, when you're post-menopausal. Post-menopausal. I mean, for instance, I mentioned them earlier, I used to get really bad allergies, very bad. I don't know. They eventually, after my hormones, you know, died down, most of the allergies disappeared. The other thing is, although I do have the odd moment where I become a fishwife again, on the whole, I'm far more mellow. You know, I don't flare up as much as I used to. I used to be quite short, you know, had a short fuse.
You don't
remember that, do you? I had quite a short fuse. And I think since you're confident, what I'm trying to say is your confidence comes back.
Yes, yes.
You find confidence in different things, and your confidence comes back. And so it is something that you have to go through. Some people have a worse time than others. But you come out the other end intact, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in some ways improved, maybe.
In some respects,
yeah,
I think so.
In some ways, you know, I mean, the change for me, the reason this is called taking on the change is because I'm not a fan of that label, because there's an implication that A, you need to, and that you will, and also it's just that whole thing of not calling it, you know, not just saying what it is, and our tendency, especially when it comes to women's problems, where we don't want to just, you know, we won't necessarily say period. I think it's only really in the last sort of maybe 5 years that we've seen people just saying, oh, I've got my period, or even advertising saying, when you've got your period, you know, it was always kind of, oh, time of the month. Or
yes, they always had words, didn't they?
Yeah, red flag day, or all of this sort of stuff. And I'm, you know, very keen to just sort of say what it is. And I still think that people have a real... you know, a real sort of response to anything that feels vagina related. It's just, and even though the menopause sort of isn't really, actually, it's got really nothing to do with vaginas or sex. I mean, it's not like getting your period. When you start your periods, it is to do with, you know, there's an implication about the fact that you'll be able to start having children, that you'll, you know, there's that kind of opening up of that door, which is, you know, you've got your period, you're going to start having breasts, getting breasts, you know, all of that sort of hormonal stuff. But the menopause, I think, is not to do with that at all, really. It's got nothing to do. I mean, of course, it is physically, it is the sign that you will no longer be able to have children. But that's got nothing to do with sex or, you know, pleasure or any of those things. In fact, I think the menopause is a much more physiological and mental process. I mean, it is a physical process, but I think it impacts on women more mentally than it does necessarily anything else. So for you, I mean, is that what everyone called it, the change? Oh, she's coming up to the change. Was it the sort of label, do you think?
I don't remember that particularly.
No.
I mean, the book my mother gave me was called No Change.
No Change. It was like a good book. Who's that by? Do you remember?
I can't remember now, because I looked it up, you know, just to see if it was still available.
Yeah.
And it was a bit like Dr. Spock. When you were young, there weren't that many books about child rearing. And Dr. Spock was the go-to for most people. And he was one of these people who gave you all the things you needed about rashes and how to fold a nut, you know, all the
practical stuff.
But generally, he was very comforting and saying, look, don't get concerned. Generally, if you think it's okay, you're doing the right thing.
Yeah.
It was very gentle in his advice. He wasn't draconian. He didn't say you should do it this way and all that. And this book was a bit the same. Look, saying, right, you know, this is going to happen. You'll be affected badly or moderately or not at all.
I remember this book.
Let's have a look. That's it.
No Change by Wendy Cooper.
It's ever so old.
Yeah. You can still get it, though. It's on Amazon.
Really? Paper. Oh, I couldn't find it.
249. But I actually remember, seeing that book.
It was on my shelf. Yeah.
Yeah. That and the Green Goddess.
And she was much the same as Dr. Spock in that she gave you all the information.
Yeah.
But she basically said, don't worry, natural process, you'll get through it. You know, that was the message.
Mm.
And I would say that's about right, because I came out the other end much the same as I, you know.
Well, you say that, but actually what you've said indicates that actually when you came out, there were things about yourself that you felt had changed and maybe improved. So you said that you're more mellow.
Yeah.
And obviously.
But yeah, the other thing you have to think of again is that I got my own business then, which gave me confidence. That was another thing that gave me confidence. So it's very difficult for me to extricate one from the other, whether it was, you know, the end of the menopause that gave me more confidence and mellowed me, or whether it was the fact that I achieved a bit more, you know, but difficult to say.
You could equally say there's no need to extricate them, because maybe they're intertwined in the sense that as you went through menopause, but there is also, you know, your children were getting older. I went
I had more time for myself.
More space.
Yeah, more space.
But also going through that process and losing that hormonal roller coaster that we all have to experience as we, you know, as women, just naturally gave you the confidence to open your own business. And you know, I mean, I think,
well, come to think of it, I'd already got one, hadn't I?
You'd always worked and you'd had your pitch framing business for ages. But and you're always incredibly busy. But I mean, from my perspective, I sort of see this part of my life, my late 40s, then going into my 50s, as being incredibly powerful. And part of that is the fact that I know that I'll be coming to that time where I will no longer have this hormonal element of myself to deal with. I find it really interesting that you responded to my initial email with all those questions. You didn't really write very much, but what you did write was that it's like a rite of passage, but there's benefits, you know, there's a positivity. And I feel really, really similar to that in that I, if possible, I'd like to just sort of head down and get through it without any.
And you may well, okay. You may well.
And then I just sort of like to come out the other side and not have to deal with all of the crap of going up and down and in and out and all of the stuff that we have to go through. Mm. And I think that women, women of my age and older, so I see a lot of women of my age and then into our 50s as being at the top of our game, actually, which I think is
really powerful. Yeah.
Really interesting, because I think society, I think that's at odds with what society thinks. And I think the menopause sort of feeds into that, because there's an implication that the menopause is the end of our usefulness. It's the end of a something that we do that gives value to society, which is provide children. And I think some women feel that very keenly, and they feel the loss of that very keenly. But it's all almost at odds with how we feel, I think, as a generation. I don't speak to every woman, but I mean, I speak to a lot of women, and I'm speaking to more of them for this podcast. That generally speaking, we feel pretty strong and we feel capable and we feel like we've got experience and skills that matter and that count and that we don't need to justify ourselves to other people, you know, like you might do in your 20s or your 30s and you're sort of still finding your way a little bit. I don't feel like that. I feel like I know who I am and I know what I've got to offer and I'm in charge of my own destiny. And I know a lot of women who feel very similar to that and are doing that, you know, creating their own businesses, whatever it is that they want to do.
And I think a lot of it comes from history, doesn't it? Because at one time, if you were no longer able to have children, that was the main function in many ways, in way, way, way back, you know. And perhaps that feeling has just followed on. But I don't think it's so much now. Well, you say it.
Well, I think it isn't. It's very interesting. I mean, if you were to look at, so for example, I think that there is a turning of the tide, but I think it's a little bit like being on a huge cruise liner where turning the boat is a long process. But even if you look at things like television programs and how they represent women of my age and above and your age, you know, sort of thing, you know, majority, even in the last 20 years, there has been a change, but it's quite a slow change. I mean, men of our age, if you look at the way that, I don't know, take someone like George Clooney, who is, you know, similar age, they're still represented as virile and attractive and, you know, valuable assets, and they're able to, I don't know, rob banks and perform surgery and all this sort of stuff. And then you kind of look at films that are made with women of that age, and it's, you know, I mean, even now they're making films about, I mean, the last one that I watched was four women discussing that book. What was that book, you know, all about sex? 50 Shades of Grey, called Book Club. And so there's this kind of dearth where it might be that in reality, lots of people don't see it like that, but it's also that idea of how it's represented. If people go and watch a film, how are the women of our age represented? How are they written about? What do we see them on telly? Do we see them on telly? That sort of thing.
Well, I don't know. I think that there has been quite a marked change. I think there's, if you go on the television these days, and I mean, admittedly, they're mostly younger women, probably.
Younger women, absolutely.
Younger women.
Yeah.
But I do think that whereas at one time, older actresses, for example, once they reached a certain age, they were kind of, well, you didn't see them anymore. But I do think it's a lot better parts now for older.
I agree.
Actresses than they used to be. I don't think they're ignored anymore.
No, I think you're right. But I think what's interesting to look at is some of these projects which are, you know, sort of, I suppose, showcasing an older actress or you know, there's is often that they are created and spearheaded by women because they've got to the point where they think, well, screw it, you know, no one's making it for me, so I think I'll do it myself. So there's a lot, I mean, there is a lot of activity by women within the industry to create that change, which is brilliant. You know, create the change. You don't have to wait for the change. You can just carry on. I mean, I don't know if I told you this, but the reason that I kind of started this process in my brain was because last summer I went through a really difficult period where I felt really unhinged. I think it was partly lockdown, but I think there was also a few other things that made me think it was menopausal. I was getting night sweats and my sleep was very erratic. I was finding it very difficult to stay asleep. I had this incredibly itchy head, really.
Oh, I remember that. Remember the itchy head, yeah.
Yeah, and it went on for a while and then it sort of stopped and now I don't get it at all, so I don't know. But the main trigger for me was that I felt very hateful towards my husband, Johnny. And which then led me to have a conversation with my doctor, and her response was to offer me a low dose of antidepressants. And I mean, you know, I didn't take that option. I didn't feel like I needed it, and so I've carried on. But you know, I did say to Johnny at the time, if this is a sign of things to come, if this is a taster, I don't know what's going to happen when I go through actual menopause, because I'm not in menopause, you know, I'm still having periods, so that we know it's not that at the moment, but it will happen. It's an inevitability. And I think there's, you know, there was that sort of slight fear for me of the lack of control. And I think that's one of the elements that maybe people don't talk about, the impact of how that feels as a woman, is that we don't have control over that. Something that's very fundamental, like you were saying, you know, you suddenly had brain fog and then you were having this crawling sensation, and it just happens to you, and you can't control whether it's going to stop happening. You can't control when it happens. It just, it's like the hot flushes and your friends saying, you know, it will just happen. It could be in a board meeting and they could be making a presentation or interviewing someone or just at home, or where, it doesn't matter where it happens, but and suddenly this thing is happening to you. I think in a way, for me, that's one of the most fundamental changes, or one of the most fundamental things that I would like men specifically, and it's very difficult for men to understand what's happening to us. I do appreciate that. But that it's happening to us. You know, if we're acting like a crazy bitch, it's that is also happening to us. We are inside that crazy bitch somewhere going, oh my God, why am I behaving like this? I'm listening to myself. Why can't I stop? I wish I didn't feel like this. It's happening to us. It's not, we're not doing that. We're not deciding to say, you know what, today I'm going to be hateful to you all day. And I mean, you were saying that, you know, there was probably times where Dad was like, oh my God, you know. But then I would say at the same time that you were inside that person going, oh, Jackie, why am I, you know, that you, I mean, do you relate to that at all?
Oh, yes, I did. I used to think when I was in the middle of a strop, I don't feel like this at all. Why am I saying this? Why am I saying these things? Because I don't really feel like that. Well, I did feel like it, but, you know, but it wasn't typical of me. And it was generally unkind and over the top. And no, you do. It is that the hormones sort of drive you, really.
Yeah.
Or lack of hormones, or whatever's happening to your hormones. It's a driver. And very often you're not yourself at all, to be
honest. Yes, exactly. And I think that's why I think there needs to be just that fundamental understanding from people. I mean, it doesn't need to be about gender. I suppose it is in a way, but only because it is very difficult for men to understand, because they just don't have this same, you know, process that happens to them. But I mean, I've had several conversations with Johnny to that same end in our early marriage, where I would go through my, you know, just be having my period and be hateful to him for 24 hours or whatever, but I would equally be inside myself wanting it to not be that, wanting to stop myself hating the fact that I was behaving in that way. And then finally being able to come out of it on the other side and saying to him, please don't treat me like I'm making a decision to do this, because I'm not. It's happening to me and it's happening to you. We're both experiencing it from different ends. It's really unpleasant, you know, for me also. It's a tricky one. But I mean, I hope that this podcast, and, you know, there's lots of other things that are happening at the moment. I think this year, there's a lot of conversations about menopause that will be happening. Well, you know, the whole point of it is for people just to be able to listen and go, oh yes, that's me, you know.
I understand.
Yes, exactly. And it's been really lovely talking to you about it and hearing your experience, because I was there, but I wasn't there, you know. So
your hormones were doing something else.
And my hormones were doing something else, yes. They were interested. They were sort of climbing. They were climbing and bouncing a little bit. Yeah.
Mine were retreating.
Well, we got through it though, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
We got through it. And we're
still
friends.
Still friends.
Yes, definitely. Well, listen, it's been absolutely lovely. Thank you for dredging up the memories of your menopause.
It's a bit of a dredge.
Yeah. But really, really nice to get your perspective, and very valuable.
But in a way, it's good that I have had to dredge up memories, because surely that's an encouragement to you all who are still to go through it.
Mm. Oh,
that definitely. It doesn't dominate your thoughts forever afterwards.
Yes. And it's been lovely because you actually had a very, I mean, obviously there would have been difficult times, but I think on the whole, you had a very positive experience with it. I'm very keen to represent all sides of menopause here, and for it not just to be about it being dreadful, because I think it can be positive. It can have a positive impact.
Ultimately.
Yeah. Ultimately. Yeah. There's a rough ride, but we're all strong enough to bear it. We'll get through it. Lovely. Well, thank you so much. And
pleasure.
Okay.
Okay. Bye for now then.
Oh, what a lovely chat. I guess for me, that was just really special talking to my mum. And I came away feeling really hopeful and positive about being on the other side of menopause. But it did also make me aware of how little some things have changed. And I guess that's why we're here, talking and sharing and making noise about menopause, because it matters. Next week, I talk to Helen and Vicky, both of whom experienced menopause of a different sort. Helen due to surgery, and Vicky was placed in temporary chemical menopause as part of her treatment for endometriosis. Both share their stories to raise awareness and help women facing these difficult processes. See you then. If you would like to get involved with Taking on the Change, please get in touch. Pop us an email at friendsforlifeproductions@gmail.com, or you can find me and a friend on Twitter and Instagram. And don't forget to follow, like, and subscribe to Taking on the Change on Spotify, Apple, or your usual podcast provider. Taking on the Change is a Friends for Life production. It was created by Anna Friend and produced by Samuel Jones.